Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone on our program. John Tibben is with us. He lives up in the Ames area here in Iowa, and he's going to be part of a service coming up here in just a few weeks to honor his uncle, Eli Olson, who died nearly 80 years ago now on that day, December 7th, 1941, at Pearl Harbor. It's been a long time for the family, but eventually Eli's remains were identified and shipped back here to the area for family to be able to give him the proper burial. And we want to talk a little bit with John this morning. John, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine.
Well, thank you so much. Eli Olson from Exira was your uncle, and we were joking the other day. You met him, but of course, at that age, you wouldn't have any memories specifically of him directly from being around him back in the day.
No, my folks were living out in Oakland, California at that time, and I was born August 2nd, and the battleships were tied up down at Long Beach. And my uncle would come up to visit Mom and my dad, mm-hmm. and bounce me on his knee. But I just don't remember that. I don't know why.
Did you say you were born in August of 1941? And, of course, Pearl Harbor happening on December 7th of that same year. Not a lot of time to spend together. I'm sure you've heard a lot of stories over the years.
Oh, yes. My mother talked a lot about Eli and all the other uncles.
Now, Eli was in the Navy, stationed out at Pearl Harbor at that particular time. And do you know much about that day from Eli's perspective at all?
No, I'm afraid I don't. We have no idea what happened. You know, we got Grandpa and Grandma got a telegram and said he was missing in action, and then about 3 months later they got one that said he was declared dead.
So there was always that bit of uncertainty
at the beginning. Yes.
Yeah. As time went on, how was that dealt with the family?
Well, I know my mother had a hard time of it. When I told her they were going to bring him back and we were going to lay him to rest there in Exira, she didn't want anything to do with it. She told me to take care of it, that she had dealt with that and had gone through it all.
Yeah, obviously very difficult, especially when you don't feel like you've been able to bring it to conclusion at all. But now you are able to receive these remains and be able to give a proper burial and a positive send-off. Now, how did that come about?
Well, when they started identifying DNA, that gave the military a chance then to identify the remains. Now, they didn't want to open the grave for the members of the Oklahoma. I don't know what the resistance was, but it went on for some time. I used to attend meetings the military put on about finding missing servicemen. And then they finally released the remains so they could dig them up. They were buried in the punch bowl at Hawaii just in random caskets.
Is part of this the reason it took so long is because the DNA process has been so much better here over the last couple of decades, and it really wasn't even in existence back then.
Oh, yes. My grandparents tried to get him sent home right during the war and at the end of the war, but of course they couldn't identify the remains that time. The Oklahoma went down on December 7th, and it wasn't until sometime in 1942 that they were able to bring it up and remove the remains from the ship. And at that time, of course, they had no way of identifying them. And so they buried them in a mass grave there at the base. And according to the military, later they wanted to use that ground for something else. So they dug them up at that time and moved them up to the punch bowl.
Wow. That's...
And then,
You would think with that many remains all buried in one mass grave, it would be difficult to kind of feather through all of that and figure out individuals.
Oh, yes, they had to go through bone by bone. They said when they dug up the remains at the punch bowl there, they were put in some big metal coffins, and they had put all the skulls in one and the big bones in another and so on and so forth. So they were sent to Offutt Air Base, is where they identified the remains. They have the labs out there and stuff. And so they were able to put them together.
Now, did I hear that you had an opportunity to go over there and see that lab?
Yes, I did not get over there. My cousin there in Exira, Gary Olson, he went over there with his family, and they got to see him.
Sure, sure. Well, there's been so much time between, obviously 80 years between the event and now. Is it drumming up a lot of new stories and things? Are family members learning more than maybe what they had known in the past?
Well, they might. I'm not sure about that. I have a book that is an author, Bo, I can't pronounce his last name. He was a Dane, and he wrote a book about the full-blooded Danes that were killed at Pearl Harbor. And, of course, my uncle, and there was another guy right there from Wyoming that was killed at the same time. And he has their life story in here. I can't read it. It's in Danish.
Sure. Were there any other members of the family that had served?
Of his my uncle's brothers?
Yeah.
His brother Chris, he was in the Navy at that time, and he was a corpsman on a hospital ship. And then there's Uncle Leo, Johnny. Oh, let's see. I can't think. There's three uncles that were in the Army in Europe. Two of them got wounded and sent home. Paul. Uncle Paul. He was the third one that was in the Army.
Okay.
And those three uncles are buried there in the Exira Cemetery, plus my mother and their sister Jane is buried there. So.
And did they? So they all came home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Eli was the only casualty from World War II in that family.
He was the only one. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and so now I see you're going to have. I got some notes from the family here that you're going to have a service to honor him and to put him to rest coming up in September.
Yes, the 25th of September, it'll be there at Exira. Hopefully, it'll be at the Lutheran Church there, and then he'll be buried up close to his brother Paul.
Okay, so a family plot there, or pretty close by?
Well, no, the family plot's in Audubon, and there Grandpa and Grandma had a spot there for Eli. When they found out they couldn't get him home, my grandmother's brother died, and so they put him in that spot. His brother Henry is laying at rest there. He died when he was 17. He fell off a horse and hit his head on a frozen clod and had bleeding on the brain, and he lasted about a week, and then he passed away.
Okay, so, but he'll still be close to family this way and be back home.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John, after all of these years, and I know you didn't know him directly, obviously, at that age, but after all these years, what does it mean to family to be able to kind of make this come full circle?
Well, it's a good feeling. They're all excited about it. There'll be all the cousins back. A lot of them I have never seen, and some of them I haven't seen in a number of years. They're all over the country, but they should all be back for this.
Well, it's, again, nice to have at least that conclusion now, so you kind of have an idea of what the ultimate is now with Petty Officer Third Class Eli Olson, an Exira native who died on December 7th, 1941 in the attack on Pearl Harbor, and finally getting a chance almost 80 years later to be able to come home. So at least they were able to use technology to their benefit and bring some joy to some folks. I assume this project is still going on in identifying the remains of those who died on the USS Oklahoma and the other ships.
Yes, and it's not only the ones that were killed there in Pearl Harbor, but they identify all the remains they find, whether they're World War One and they dig them up in France, or if they get them in the jungles of Vietnam, they're always looking for them.
Very good. So that project never ends. Excellent. Well, John, thank you so much for your time here today. We appreciate it. And best to you and your family, and we hope you have a good day on September 25th in honoring your uncle.
Well, thank you.